Dominic Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Ian is here today. Hello, Ian.
What up, what up?
So I got up early this morning, and I listened to a lot of Robbie and Rex Road.
Which, fun.
Oh, I tell you, you're talking about the greatest experience I've ever had. But I've turned like the 8 o'clock hour on Wednesdays into like a cardio hour for me. Where, like, you know, I'm either riding a bike at home and I'm watching them on YouTube with Paul, or I'm walking or running in the neighborhood and I'm listening to them with Paul. And I got to say, them with Paul is becoming, you know, must listen to radio for me, which is saying something. Not that there's, you know, everything else on our station is great as well, but, you know, them and Paul, you know, and them going after the people is probably one of my favorite things. But I woke up this morning, I was listening to Robbie and Rex Road. And Robbie brought up the fact that I guess it was bookies.com. I have no idea what bookies.com is or isn't. I obviously, like many of you, can probably make an assumption. Says that Ryan Tannehill is the most likely quarterback to be benched in the National Football League. Apparently Desmond Ridder is number two. And I listened to the show, and I listened to the text line and what people had to say, and I know what people have said into this text line. And so I think we should just have this discussion once and for all. Like, this should be the only time that we have to talk about this for the rest of the season. But I'm done litigating whether or not Ryan Tannehill is going to be the Titans quarterback. You may not like Ryan Tannehill. You may be like the majority of America and think that there are better quarterbacks out there in the NFL than Ryan Tannehill. You may be like a lot of people here that don't want Ryan Tannehill to be the quarterback. You may be like probably everybody except for Ryan himself, who doesn't think that Tannehill is capable of winning a Super Bowl. You may be one of those people. But that doesn't change reality. And it's not like it's March or February or even June or even before the start of the season. You're in the middle of the year. You're a quarter of the way in. You're tied for first place in your division. You're not trading your starting quarterback. You're not benching your starting quarterback. And you're not releasing your $27 million quarterback, who, if you did, you'd still have to pay. So regardless of how you feel about Tannehill, and I understand that, you know, the feelings about Tannehill lie on a very wide spectrum. But the argument of whether or not he should be the quarterback or he's going to be the quarterback, that's over. Ryan Tannehill is the Titans' starting quarterback. Now, if you want to talk about next season, that is a totally different discussion. I don't even think the Titans know who their starting quarterback next season is going to be. You know, Tannehill could get them to the AFC Championship game again, but if they feel like they've seen enough from Will Levis, they may just decide to go with him next year anyways. But that's a different discussion. What's going to happen this year is that Ryan Tannehill is your quarterback, period. And the reason that I guess I'm bothered by this discussion, and look, bookies.com, I don't know who is in line for a benching or who's not in line for a benching, or I haven't, you know, watched all the other teams play or anything like that. Ryan Tannehill's played great this year. Like, have y'all not watched the football games themselves? Ryan Tannehill is the best guy for the job. He's doing a really good job this year. And you can win with him. Now, there are limitations on how much you can win with him. But I think there are limitations on how much you can win with a lot of these quarterbacks in the league. I don't want to say all, because I don't think there are limitations on how much you can win with Patrick Mahomes, or limitations that when Joe Burrow is healthy, how much you can win with him. But I think there's a lot of limitations around the NFL on how much you can win with some of these quarterbacks. Like, Can you win a Super Bowl with Trevor Lawrence? What about Dak Prescott? Can you win a Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson as your starting quarterback? What about Derek Carr? Sam Howell? Now, for most of those guys, we don't know the answer yet. We don't know for sure that you can't win the Super Bowl with Dak Prescott. I don't think you can win the Super Bowl with Dak Prescott. That's just me. I don't think he's good enough. Tannehill's been in the league long enough, and he's been on different teams long enough, and he's been on good enough teams long enough, and he's played enough playoff games that it does feel pretty certain that you can't win the Super Bowl with it. Even if all the conditions are right, even if the defense is playing well, even if you get a good draw in the playoffs, even if I still think it would be a long shot. But that doesn't change where the Titans sit right now. Right now, the Titans are an average team. They're 2-2. They won one game real close. They lost another one by a point. They got blown out 27-3, and they did some blowing out at 27-3. Ryan Tannehill is the quarterback of the Titans. That is not changing. And it is obvious when it comes to the Tannehill spectrum, where on one end there's, he's a bum, they should play Willis over him. And the other side being, Tannehill is as good as Joe Montana, which I don't hear very often, but, you know, I'm sure there are some bobos out there that think that way. And everybody falls somewhere on that spectrum. The Titans are on the spectrum, and you know that because they've drafted quarterbacks in each of the last 2 years. If the Titans wanted to keep Ryan Tannehill long-term, they would have worked out a new contract with him. If the Titans thought there was a really good chance Tannehill was going to be on the team next year, they would have reworked his contract. But they didn't. Rand Carthon took the job. Are you committed to Tannehill? Whoa, now. Asking me those questions off the jump. But again, those are off-season discussions. Here we are in October. You've got the chance to have a good season. Right? Like, we saw that on Sunday. On Sunday, we learned that you have the pieces that when it gets put together, you've got a shot to win a lot of football games in this league. And I know Cincinnati's all kinds of screwed up. But you don't win 27-3 on accident. Cleveland didn't win 27-3 on accident 2 weeks ago. They've got the chance to have a pretty decent team this year. And then I think the other thing that gets ignored in this, and I'm sure the people at bookies.com aren't focused in on this like we are, but I think Tannehill is playing some great football this year. I thought Tannehill was electric in the Chargers game. Throwing the ball down the field, hit the two deep shots to Burks, hit the one to Moore. I thought he was incredibly efficient, had that great throw on the sideline to DeAndre Hopkins to set up the game-winning field goal in overtime. He threw for 240-something yards, which, again, with Tannehill, that's the goal. The Titans have been successful over the long haul for the last 5 years with Tannehill as the quarterback, and it has been from him throwing for 250 yards. It has not been with him throwing for 450 yards. Last week, Tannehill, more of the same. And I think the encouraging part about Tannehill on Sunday against the Bengals was I don't think Tannehill had his A game. I think against the Chargers, that was his A game. But he had a bad throw to Chris Moore on the sidelines where he had him open and he missed him. He had a stupid tried to be Kurt Warner throw on a screen pass to Tajay Spears, which for Spears' sake, it's probably good that he didn't catch it. So he didn't even play his best ball game. And he was pretty doggone good. And it's amazing what happens with Tannehill when they block for Tannehill, when they catch the ball from Tannehill, when they dial up schemes to allow him to stand in the pocket when they get open down the field, it's amazing how good Ryan Tannehill can look sometimes. So even if you are somebody that thinks the Titans should do better at quarterback or should strive to do better at quarterback to get a guy in here who can be the guy that can take you to the Super Bowl and can win it, and you want that guy, and you'll do whatever it takes for that guy, well, guess what? So are they. They tried to move up to number three to draft C.J. Stroud. They thought that was the guy. They tried. And they happened to tell everybody while they did that. So they weren't able to do it. So Tannehill is where they're going. And this idea that I feel like every day we have to litigate whether or not Tannehill should be the starting quarterback of the Titans is crazy talk. And it would be a much easier discussion to have if Tannehill wasn't playing great. And see, what bothers me about the two throws that he missed in the Saints game is the narrative that has come out that, oh, well, everybody was good in the Saints game except for Tannehill, which is not true. Burks dropped a pass. Tim Kelly kept Derrick Henry on the sideline. I mean, you can say whatever you want. If Christian Fulton lets Rashid Saheed go right past him, you know, at the end of the game, Azeez Al-Shaair doesn't make a tackle. I mean, there's a lot of reasons you lost that Saints game. You as a team didn't play well. But I'm convinced that of Tannehill's only poor performance this year, that was in large part because he got hit early behind an offensive line that he'd never really played behind, and because he was rusty because they never played him in the preseason. So ever since then, great against the Chargers. I thought he was good against the Browns. Not the, well, he was under so much pressure that it was hard to tell whether or not he was. I thought he was great against the Browns. I mean, he's got the third down throw to Okonkwo that he drops. He's got the two passes to Burks that he drops. The balls on the sideline to DeAndre were perfect. The pass on the sideline on fourth down to Chris Moore, in which Moore made an excellent catch. I think Tannehill's been good. And not only that, I mean, we've seen, you know, because there was some talk that, you know, hey, he's 35 years old. And so a 35-year-old Tannehill, you know, what's that going to look like? Well, against the Chargers, they ran the option, and he scored a touchdown. And I don't know if you've seen some of these balls he's throwing outside the numbers. I heard Adam in Portland call Robbie and Retro this morning. You know I love Adam. But I heard Adam, you know, call Robbie and Joe and talk about how he thinks he's looking at Mariota out there. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Tannehill hit four passes outside the numbers off the top of my head on Sunday. He's doing a great job. I mean, this is what I mean when I tell you that Ryan Tannehill is a symptom and he is not a cause. His performance has always been a symptom. You've got Arthur Smith, good play caller. A.J. Brown, great wide receiver. Derrick Henry running the ball, an offensive line that can block. Tannehill's great. You put in a bad offensive coordinator, oh, Tannehill's not as good. You give him a bad offensive line, oh, Tannehill's not as good, and now he's hurt. You give him receivers that can't catch and can't stay healthy, and oh, Tannehill's not as good. But last week, they blocked well. They called a great game in terms of, hey, if we're going to throw the ball outside the numbers, if we're going to take a deep shot, we're going to leave a bunch of guys in there to protect. If not, the ball is coming out fast. We're going to run plays that look and run sets like run plays that'll get the Bengals thinking they're going to run it, and then we're going to throw it off the play action. And everybody caught it. Wiley caught it. Spears caught it. Chig caught it. NWI caught it. Moore caught it. Although I do think that that ball on the sideline still was questionable. And DeAndre caught it. And you win 27-3. It's amazing. It's amazing. So I'm done litigating whether or not Ryan Tannehill is going to be this team's starting quarterback or whether or not Ryan Tannehill should be this team's starting quarterback, because in both cases, the answer is yes. Ryan Tannehill is the team's quarterback. He is going to continue to be the team's quarterback, and he deserves to be the team's quarterback because he's the best guy for the job, and he's doing a good job so far this year. So that's how we're starting today. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. And I think there's one thing on top of this that D. Mace said that I think is coming not just from the heart, but from his experience, that I think we all need to realize and we all need to recognize, and this will help Tannehill continue to have the good performances that he's had so far this year. We'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll be giving away Preds season opener tickets later today, so be listening for that here on the program. And tonight, tune into 93.3 Classic Hits for MTSU football. The Blue Raiders will kick off at 7 o'clock at home against Jacksonville State. Pregame starts at 5:30, and coverage is also available on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3classichits.com.
Yeah, I think our blocking as a whole, you know, took a step forward. You know, you look at what the tight ends did, what the offensive line did, had receivers finishing down the field. It was more of the way we want to play as far as physical finish, you know, just being a team that's going to play until the whistle and finishing those blocks down the field, trying to keep the ball carrier clean all the way down the field. You know, you look at this team, they were playing a team that's going to try to hunt the ball. You see them punching at the ball, raking at the ball. You know, so it's going to be crucial that we can keep our guys off of the ball carrier and finish those blocks.
Coach Tannehill breaking down the game against Indianapolis. But you heard right there, he said, hey, the blocking took a huge step forward. We took a huge step forward as an offense. And I keep thinking back to something Mike Vrabel said after the Cincinnati loss, which, by the way, is completely and totally still Tannehill's fault. The Cincinnati playoff loss, what could have been that year, that is Ryan Tannehill's fault. Now, I certainly think Todd Downing is a big part of this. I thought Downing was going to get fired after that game, after Tannehill played so poorly, because what the Titans, you know, they were kind of in a bind of, you know, what it would take to get an Aaron Rodgers or a Russell Wilson or something like that. And remember, Russell Wilson was good at the time, or we thought he was good at the time. So it would have been hard to fire the quarterback. So I thought that Todd Downing was going to be used as the sacrificial lamb for the step back that the 2021 offense took. And Vrabel, because of his stubbornness sometimes, decided not to do it. But Vrabel said after the season, we have to be great around Tannehill. And everybody ran with that. Have to be great around Tannehill. Have to be great around Tannehill. Have to be great around Tannehill. Then Vrabel tried to clarify that at the combine by saying, well, what I meant was we have to play great around him. Like, we have to block with good technique around him, and we have to finish the catch around him, and we have to run with, you know, violence and all those things Vrabel coaches up. And I took the cheese on that. I think everybody else kind of, you know, one ear out the other, they didn't listen to that, but I bought that. I was like, Vrabel's talking about coaching around Tannehill and, you know, the things they can control, not necessarily we need to get great players around Tannehill. Now I think it's kind of obvious that he was saying what everybody thought the first time. You got to be great around Tannehill. And if you are, Tannehill will be very good. And if you're not, and he's throwing to Racy McMath and Anthony Firkser, he's not going to be very good. And so, I mean, I have just learned that Ryan Tannehill is not the problem and Ryan Tannehill is not the solution. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chase in Bellevue says, with protection, he's a top 15 quarterback in the league. Solid, and get what the Titans get. What's funny is we got about 30 text messages into the text line after that first segment talking about Tannehill. And almost every single one of them is pro Tannehill. What I will say is that there are probably 30 other people that will text in a segment or whatever it is, 40, 20, whatever, that there will be 30 other people that text in if the Titans lose on Sunday to Indianapolis, which very much is on the table. Very much is a possibility, even though I don't think Indy's very good. You absolutely could lose that game, and it's going to be, we got to bench Tannehill and see if Willis or Levis can do it. How much longer do you think the Jets would be interested in Tannehill? What about the Falcons with Tannehill? And I just know where it's coming from. And LD from McMinnville is a good example here. LD said, two text messages from LD. Good grief. I hope you have plenty of chapstick. This is embarrassing. then follows it up with, I'm fully on board with Tannehill being the quarterback, but I hate Tannehill and will celebrate the day he's gone. So all I am arguing is that I'm done with this. I'm done with all of the, you know, Jared, do you think that they should try Will Levis out, see what happens? No! Ryan Tannehill is the quarterback. That's all I'm saying. He's the quarterback for right now. Somebody texted in earlier this week and said, you know, don't you think they should try to get Tannehill and Henry to sign team-friendly extensions right now? And I'm like, why? Why would you try to get them to sign team-friendly extensions right now? I mean, you can get them at the end of the year. And the market for those guys, no matter how well they play, will probably not be very high. So if you end up making it to the divisional round of the playoffs and you feel good about Tannehill and the progress with Tim Kelly and the receivers and where the thing's headed, and again, this is something that we wouldn't know the answer to, but you don't feel great about Will Levis, so you want to run it back with Tannehill, then you sign Tannehill again. But you don't need to do that now. What I am talking about is that for right now, for this season, Tannehill's the guy. And I remember when the schedule came out, and we saw, boy, there's some good teams early in that season. Cincinnati and the Chargers and the Ravens, and if they can just get to 3-3, they should be okay, because the rest of the schedule seems to lighten up a little bit. And this is when everybody still thought Jacksonville is good, which as of right now, they're not. But we looked at that schedule and we said, six games, then the bye. Tannehill may only have six games. And after those six games, it would be very convenient. You get back from London, you turn it over to Will Levis. But they're not going to do that. Tannehill's already proven enough this year that he's going to be the quarterback. So there's really no danger of Ryan Tannehill losing his job. Mason says, what's wrong with you? Tannehill has two touchdowns and four interceptions this year. He's 32nd of 33 when it comes to QBR. He's been great. Hell no, he's been solid, and solid is only good enough when everything else is great. Name any other quarterback on any team at that point that was great with twice as many interceptions as touchdowns. He's been fine. Ian, why did I tell you that I was furious with Tannehill for that interception that he threw on Sunday, that meaningless arm punt that he threw on Sunday?
Bad decision.
I was mad because I knew it was going to be used against him. It was a meaningless play. I wasn't happy because it was a bad decision, but it was a totally meaningless play. But again, come time to settle up, nobody says, well, you know, that one against Cincinnati, he just chucked the ball down the field for no reason. They were up by 24 points, so who cares? But don't be sitting here telling me touchdown to interception ratio as if that's the defining statistic of Ryan Tannehill's season. I mean, again, Ryan Tannehill has a rushing touchdown. Derrick Henry has a passing touchdown this year. Deciding who scores the touchdowns, that's different than how well is your offense producing. It's 18 points a game, and right now that's not good enough. But you watched the Cleveland game, and you know the Cleveland game was not his fault, because he actually played well in the Cleveland game. Andrew says, thank you, Jared. This fan base is made up of complete clowns. We are tied for the division lead with the quarterback playing well, and all these folks want to talk about is the draft or unproven rookies. It's like a loony bin around here sometimes. Sometimes I feel that way, and then other times I really think the Titan fan base is made up of 85% smart, reasonable fans with fair expectations. And the other 15% is, we need to tank for Caleb Williams. I mean, we got a tank for, we need to be so bad that we should get like that. You know what I mean? But we hear most of the, you know, the crazies. And so sometimes we think, it's kind of like politics, you know, the crazies end up on TV more than the regular people. But I think for the most part, the Titan fan base is not a Looney Tune fan base. And I'll tell you why I'm convinced the Titan fan base isn't a Looney Tune fan base. Because when, you know, we talk about Derrick Henry, we get all these text messages and calls about how it's time to move on from Derrick Henry and can you win with a running back and everything else. But when I'm at the stadium and, you know, they're starting to roll things on offense, the crowd starts chanting, Henry, 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 including in the Charger game where they throw a ball 70 yards down the field. And instead of everybody saying, yeah, keep passing, the fan base is like, all right, give it to Derrick. So, again, I think it's 85% normal, composed, smart Titan fans with fair expectations. And then the 15%, you know, they're like the crazy Cowboy fans out there. 615-737-1025. More of your phones. 615-737-1025. Plus, there is one player that may be making a return this week who, I got to tell you, I'm not going to say kick him to the curb. But mentally, kick them to the curb. We'll get to that coming up next. Hey, make your silly underdog picks for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can play at thegamenashville.com or the 102.5 The Game app as we approach week 6 of the college football season and week 5 for the NFL. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket.
Yeah, Kyle's done a great job. We know whenever he's been healthy for us. Obviously, he has the agility and quickness on the inside. Great feel for getting himself open underneath and, you know, just been dealing with some injuries, unfortunately. So, you know, look to work him back in, see how things progress this week. But talk to him. He said he feels good, and we'll see where things go.
Kyle Phillips, they've opened the IR window for return with Kyle Phillips. And let me just be one to tell you, I do not care about Kyle Phillips. I am not looking forward to Kyle Phillips' return. And if I were the Titans, I'd be looking at it like this. We're going to let him return the punts, even though that should make you nervous. Let him return the punts. And, like, if it's a blowout or if, you know, somebody needs a blow or if, you know, we find ourselves in the right situation for him to get in the game, then we'll put him in the game. But I am not taking Nick Westbrook-Ikhine or Chris Moore off the football field to put Kyle Phillips on it. I mean, this is a what-have-you-done-for-me league, and right now, NWI and Chris Moore are out there making some plays, and Kyle Phillips stays injured. So, I mean, I know, oh, yeah, training camp, he looks great. He's this, he's that, he's right. I'm going to invest in the guys who play well in the games. And right now, that's NWI and Chris Moore. And my thing about Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and Chris Moore is it would be one thing if they weren't giving you big catch after big catch to say, hey, let's work Phillips in there and see what he has. But if you work Phillips in there to see what he has, what you're doing is you're going to take away snaps from the guys that are giving you positive production when they're in the game. It's like, it doesn't matter to me to take away snaps from Trevon Wesco to put in Josh Wiley. But it now matters to me if you want to take away snaps from Josh Wiley to put in Kevin Rader, because Josh Wiley is producing on the football field. And I'm not the biggest Nick Westbrook-Ikhine fan. You know that from over the years. But as Coach Prime says, you play good, they pay good. And so if you keep making plays, I'm going to keep putting you out there on the field. And so the guy who can never get himself on the field, I'm not stopping anything that I'm doing for him. I mean, it's almost like with Kyle Phillips, if he were to walk back into the room and I'm Tannehill and he'd just sit down at the wide receiver table while we're talking about the game plan, I'd be like, hey, man, are you healthy for this week? Yes, sir, I am. All right. I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to see you. Unless I need you, you just sit there, because I'm going to worry about the guys that do play and make plays in the game. Boy, phone lines are all worked up over Tannehill. 615-737-1025. One texter says, are these anti-Tannehill people high? He's thrown for 250 yards in 2 of the 4 games this season. It's still way too early to make a knee-jerk reaction and pull the plug. He's not perfect, but he's the best functional option the Titans have right now. And if the running game continues to come around, the Titans will be fine. Again, this is the thing about Tannehill. is if you can run the ball and you can block and you can catch the ball and you can call decent plays, Tannehill will be pretty good. If you can't do those things, Tannehill will be pretty bad. Ian's got a theory about Tannehill, by the way. I don't want to throw you under the bus, but I do think it's a fascinating theory. And I did kind of hear the morning show reference this. And Ian, what's your theory on the fans in Tannehill?
Oh, I just think after the Cincinnati playoff game, everyone's done.
So you just think that the Cincinnati – and who was the most mad of anybody in your orbit over that Cincinnati playoff
game? You were up there.
I mean, I was to the top. And it has permanently changed my opinion about what you can be with Tannehill, like what the
and
ceiling
so
is
I
for
think
the team.
There's a certain amount of fans who are like, hey, we already know you can't win the Super Bowl with Tannehill. What's the point of continuing with Tannehill if you already know you can't win the Super Bowl? Sure, you can be a good team. You can make the playoffs. You can win the division. But I think a lot of those people are over it. There's almost like this permutation of the Preds philosophy that has like started to infiltrate the Titans philosophy. And so many people were with the Preds and hanging on with that team. And now everyone's kind of on board with pulling the tape. And even people were tanking, wanting to tank. And you can't get good unless you get really bad. So there's kind of like this almost mental gymnastics that are going on about Tannehill and the ceiling and the team and what's best.
So here's where I would differentiate the two. In hockey, in order to get great players, you have to be bad. Like, in order to get the best players, you have to be bad. Connor McDavid's team drafted him. Auston Matthews' team drafted him. Connor Bedard's team drafted him. Like, if you want Steven Stamkos drafted, you have to be bad. Like, that's just the reality of the sport. The best quarterback in the NFL is probably Patrick Mahomes. His team was the number two seed in the AFC playoffs the year before he was drafted. They didn't tank for him. The Buffalo Bills made the playoffs for the first time in 19 years in 2017. And in 2018, they drafted Josh Allen. So in football, it's a different sport where you don't necessarily have to tank in order to get a good quarterback. In fact, a lot of the teams that do tank end up drafting quarterbacks that kind of stink. Like Justin Fields. Texter into the text line says, so are the Titans getting a 50-50 Tannehill, and are you okay with that? I mean, I'm okay with a Tannehill that if you block for him, you catch for him, and you call him decent plays, I'm okay with that Tannehill, the Tannehill that you have right now. Do you win the Super Bowl? No. But your roster's not good enough to win the Super Bowl. And the one thing where I would push back on Ian's take about the Cincinnati thing, I think Ian's right. That the fans look at the Cincinnati game and, like, that's it for them with Tannehill. But now that we're starting to see the offense play better, and now that we're starting to see more of those wow kind of plays from Tim Kelly, even the ones Tannehill didn't hit week one against the Saints, even the one they didn't hit early where DeAndre lost the ball in the sun against Cincinnati, you see those plays, though, in the game. Isn't it pretty obvious that the hiring of Todd Downing was probably an even bigger problem than we realized at the time? Like, even midway through last year where everybody was done with Todd Downing, isn't there a chance that that was actually an even bigger mistake? Now, I know they wanted to hire Tim Kelly, and Tim Kelly's not perfect. That game plan against the Browns 2 weeks ago was freaking stupid. But they wanted to hire Tim Kelly, and the Texans said no, and David Culley kept him on as offensive coordinator, whatever. But, like, again, let's just say that the Titans had hired Tim Kelly. Arthur Smith leaves, they hire Tim Kelly. Maybe that Cincinnati game doesn't happen because Tannehill doesn't regress for the entire season. Because he's actually got a good play caller. And I think it's obvious, as much as Vrabel wants to fight it, that Todd Downing wasn't a good play caller. And so I think the real problem is Downing did a lot of damage, and the Titans weren't ready for it, which is why Tannehill turned the ball over so much in 21. And then Tannehill spent the whole offseason, you know, deciding not to turn the ball over in 22. And I think now we're starting to see, you know, a little bit more free and easy. Though he's turned the ball over a little bit, as he did stupidly on Sunday. But, again, it didn't hurt anything. I just didn't like the fact that it happened, because then I knew somebody was going to say, look at the interceptions. Chris Sanders will join us next. His thoughts on the Titans. And how about Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and Chris Moore? What's he make of it? We'll get to that coming up next here on the program, here on Stillman & Company. Tune into Vandy football this Saturday on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. The Commodores will kick off at 3 o'clock on the road against Florida. Pregame begins at 1:30, and coverage is available on 102.5 The Game's app and thegamenational.com.
Ryan, what do you see from Nick, and what was your trust level with him?
Which one?
Westbrook-Ikhine.
Yeah, Nick's made some big plays for us. You know, obviously, he's been so consistent over his 3 years here, I guess going on four now, with us, you know, just consistent day in and day out. We can move him all over. He does the dirty work for us. He can make plays down the field. You know, you see him finish a tough run on the touchdown, a collision right at the goal line. So it's a guy I trust, and we trust as an offense, because he does so much for us.
Yeah, that was Tannehill talking about Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. And I got to say, hey, the more you throw it to him, the more he catches it, the more he's making plays for you, the more I'm going to keep throwing it to him and hope that he catches it and keeps making plays. Former Titans receiver Chris Sanders joins us now on the program. Chris, I want to start.
Yes.
On how you feel about watching NWI and Chris Moore right now, and what they've added to the passing game, specifically on Sunday against Cincinnati.
Man, they're playing consistent. And just listen to the interview with Tanner. He said one key word that really stands out is he trusts these guys. And the funny thing about the whole situation, Jared, is at the beginning of the season, you had NWI in the receiver room. You had Moore in the receiver room. And everybody was talking about the Tennessee Titans didn't have any receivers. So when guys hear that, they have a lot to prove. And all these guys do, they just come out, they work, they run the route, they catch the pass, and they go to the sidelines. That's the kind of cast that you want on a team. I mean, even though they don't get the pub and the national attention that they get, they're good for this Tennessee Titans, just for the Tennessee Titans.
Chris, how encouraged were you by the offense's performance Sunday?
Oh, it was outstanding. And I want to take my hat off to Tim Kelly. And the reason why I take my hat off to Tim Kelly is the offense was creative. I mean, look at the things that they did. They did a flea flicker. They did a jump pass with Derrick Henry. I mean, just, you know, putting in extra tight ends to block to help the offensive line. Just looking at the whole situation from the offensive line to the receivers catching the ball to Tannehill to play action. It just made a fun day. And just kind of listen to the interview with Tannehill. He said these key words. He said, we were having so much fun. Why were they having fun? Is because Tim Kelly was putting these guys in a position to have fun, but also that everybody was making plays.
Chris, how can the team go from being so bad one week to then being so good the next?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's – you just got to be consistent. This league is really, really weird. I mean, you know, the week before they go against Cleveland, they get blown out. Then they come to Nissan Stadium, and they blow out the Cincinnati Bengals. Situation with the Miami Dolphins last week, they beat 70-0. Then they get beat by 30. I just think that this is what makes a team that's great, that they got to win the winnable games. And I think that if the Tennessee Titans can get on a roll, start winning the games that they're supposed to win, then that can start classifying them being a good team.
Former Titans receiver Chris Sanders is with us. How much do you give credit to the defense for Sunday, knowing that Joe Burrow wasn't 100%?
Man, I give a lot of credit to Shane Bowen, and I'm going to tell you why. Is because, man, they made Burrow look so uncomfortable in the pocket. I understand that he had
Didn't Burrow's calf make Burrow look uncomfortable in the pocket?
He did, but the smartness of Shane Bowen is he's sending blitzes to where, you know, Burrow didn't have a chance to even set up and make a throw. I'm going to give you a perfect example. 2018, week 10, where we were playing Tom Brady when they beat him 34-10, is we knew that Tom Brady would struggle sometimes if they send pressure through the A and B gap, and that's exactly what Shane Bowen did to Burrow. They sent pressure through the A and B gap, and he couldn't step up and make a throw. I mean, he looked like he's never played football before because of the blitzes that Shane Bowen was showing him.
Chris, what do you make of Indianapolis this week? Everybody's 2-2 in the division.
Yeah.
And this is the first division game on the road at Indy. Rookie quarterback, what do you make of it?
I mean, I still think it's a dangerous team. I don't know if Taylor's playing this week at the running back. I'm not sure. Have they declared that? I'm not sure, you know?
So I don't think they've declared it. I think it's possible, but I mean, how likely would it be that Jonathan Taylor is Jonathan Taylor after having not taken a snap for, you know, 18 months or whatever it's been?
But he still deposes a threat. You know what I'm saying? Just having him back there, he's a home run hitter. I mean, just looking at this Indianapolis Colts team, they're like Jekyll and Hyde. I mean, it's kind of like one week we look like world beaters, we beat the Ravens, and the next week we get beat by Houston. I mean, kind of stuff like that, kind of like what the Tennessee Titans are doing, but they still have some weapons. I mean, they have some weapons on defense like Buckner and Stewart, and you have some other guys on offense that's like Pittman, Downs, and Pierce, guys that can make explosive plays. But I think it's all going to come down to both teams, which quarterback shows up. Richardson, who's a rookie, who's not playing like a rookie. I know he's making some rookie mistakes, but if it all depends on which guy shows up, and if which guy shows up that plays well, I think that's the team that's going to win.
Chris, do you think that the Titans maybe struggle more on the road offensive? Like, is there a reason for it? Like, because in two games on the road, they've got 9 points.
I know.
And at home, they're averaging 27 points a game. You've played on the road in the NFL. Do you have an explanation for why that is?
I don't know. I mean, that's a good question to ask here, because I don't know, because you know, if you look at what the Tennessee Titans did in Nissan Stadium, they look like world beaters. They look like, you know, the challenge for the whole Super Bowl. But then they go and play Cleveland, and they look like they never played football. I don't know if it's the loudness of the stadium, or because they can't hear the cadence, or the offensive line can't fire off the ball quick. I just don't know. But they look like two different teams. But, you know, but what they have to do as a team that they want to be elite, they got to figure out to be consistent on the road and consistent when they're playing at home.
Do you think that the Titans, if you were a player on this team, would be looking at the division at 2-2 and everybody else there at 2-2 and feel a sense of comfort, excitement, worry? I mean, how would you feel about this as a player right now if you were on that team?
I think for me, I wouldn't be satisfied. You know, I know that everybody's 2-2, but, you know, at the end of the day, if you're going to go to the playoffs, you have to win your division, and everybody's feeling the same. If everybody's feeling 2-2, you got the Jaguars is 2-2, you got Houston is 2-2, you got Indy is 2-2, you got the Titans that are 2-2. Everybody's feeling that same thing, that even though we're 2-2, we got to figure out a way to win the AFC South. So as a player, me individually, I'm going to make sure to say, you know what, even though we're 2-2, I'm not satisfied until we win the division and have to go to the playoffs.
Chris, how would you evaluate Tannehill?
I mean, it's kind of like the same thing. On the road, he looks bad, but then, you know, at home, he looks like a world beater. Look at what he did against the San Diego Chargers, 20 for 24 for 200-something yards. And then this past week, he looked like he was a top-notch quarterback, but on the road, he looks totally different. But I just think that, you know, with Tannehill, he's just got to make sure that consistently that he plays well, and I think that's the only problem that we're seeing with Tannehill.
So I actually didn't think Tannehill was bad against Cleveland. I just think they didn't block for him. He didn't have any time, and when he threw it, they didn't catch it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you also, but then, you know, when you're a quarterback that threw 3 interceptions twice, I think that's where you get in fault. I understand that the offensive line is struggling with Brunskill, Dillon, and all those guys up front. But when you throw 3 interceptions, the finger's going to be pointed at you. But I just think that if he just figures it out on the road, this Tennessee Titans, and I'm not just saying this, can be one of the dangerous teams in the NFL if they play like what they did last week.
Chris Sanders is with us. If you were the wide receivers coach of this team.
Yes.
And I don't think Treylon Burks practiced today, but let's say that Burks was available. How could you take Nick Westbrook, Akine, or Chris Moore off the field to put Treylon Burks, who has had his struggles right now catching the football, on the field?
I mean, you can't. I mean, if I'm a wide receivers coach, you got to make a tough decision. And I coach receivers at Montgomery Bell Academy. Sometimes I do have to make these decisions. But you got to go with the kid that's hot. You got to go with a kid that's making plays. You got to go with a kid that you can trust. And Chris Moore and NWY, you can trust. They've been reliable the whole game. Even though Chris Moore might not have the number of catches, he's consistently averaging 33 yards a catch and catching the bomb downfield. And then we have NWY that consistently gets open, that consistently makes the play. And then now he goes from that to where a quarterback of your team, the quarterback that's leading the charge, to say he's been reliable and I can trust. If I'm a wide receiver, coach, and my coach said that, or my quarterback said that I trust my receivers, I got to go with the guys that he trusts, and NWI and Chris Moore are the guys that I trust.
Last one for you. What is your kind of gut feel on what we're going to see Sunday from the Titans? Are we going to see the good Titans or are we going to see the bad Titans?
You know what, Jared? I think we're going to see the good Titans. And the reason why I say this is because I believe that Mike Vrabel is going to make sure he's consistently paying attention to details. I know that's a lot of coach talk and all this stuff. He's going to remind them of how they played against Cleveland, how they played against the Saints, that we got to come out with hair on our fire and not wait for somebody to make plays. So if you have all your coaching staff, Mike Vrabel, Shane Bowen, Tim Kelly, all those guys said that we got to do these things. I think they're going to come out and punch Indianapolis coach square in the mustache.
In the mustache, Chris Sanders. He coaches wide receivers at Montgomery Bell Academy. As always, former Titans receiver. He'll be on the pregame show Sunday.
Let's go.
Chris, appreciate you, brother.
Appreciate you, Doc. Love you, mate.
Love you, too. Chris Sanders. Be sure to join Robbie with Chris and Derek. Boy, I hope Robbie knows what he's in for, by the way. You know, with those two. At Twin Peaks in Madison this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 for the award-winning pregame show where they'll break down the Titans and the Colts. The award-winning pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and The Beast Unleashed. So I found some wild, well, I shouldn't say wild, surprising stats today. I was looking up something about Derrick Henry and the Hall of Fame, and I was doing a little research, and I was actually kind of surprised by something I came across. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. And be sure to tune in to 94.9 The Fan this Saturday at 2:30 for the College Football Game of the Week. Alabama and Texas A&M. Presented by Twin Peaks. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks for scenic views of all the hottest college football games across the country and home of 29-degree beer.